Up next, who should pay pension costs for Illinois teachers and school administrators? Currently, the state bears virtually all the cost, leaving school districts free to negotiate benefits without worrying about the price tag. As listeners to Statewide heard earlier this month, the education advocacy group called Stand for Children hopes to persuade lawmakers to shift pension costs to districts by integrating them into the new school funding formula. That group's legislative director, Jessica Handy, calls it an equity boost. This week, we bring you a response from the Illinois Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, whose lobbyist, Will Lovett, spoke with our education reporter, Dusty Rhodes.
I know you guys are just adamantly opposed to pension cost shift. Is that right?
That is correct. Because we look at the shifting of pensions on the local school districts as just another way to divert resources at the local level that would have gone to help educate students. It would just be simply a diversion of resources that would have stayed in the classroom in local school districts and sends them to Springfield.
So I get your point, but it would be rolled into each district's adequacy target. So,
yeah, I mean, they've kind of rebranded what was a shift of the actual normal cost to local school districts and pushed the normal cost into the new funding formula and then, you know, kind of recalibrate, I guess, you know, what districts would receive. Either way you look at it, under the equity boost is what Stand for Children calls it. It's still, as she stated in her interview with you, that it creates winners and losers. And the reason education funding reform was embraced was because it did not create winners and losers. It did not take from any one district to give to another. But under what Stand for Children's proposing, and Jessica stated it, about 100 districts would actually lose some funding if they do this equity boost, as they describe it, or this cost shift.
But, I mean, you can surely admit that the pension system is in need of some reform, right?
Well, I'm not sure if shifting who pays for pensions is considered reform. It's about who's paying the bill.
I mean, the way it is right now, a district doesn't really have a reason to really consider pension costs, especially for administrators.
Well, I would disagree with that because there has been reform, if you will. You know, downstate suburban teachers, those who participate in TRS, they now have what's called the 6% salary limitation. Downstate suburban teachers are the only teachers in the state that have that type of limitation on their pensionable earnings. But districts do have skin in the game when it comes to salaries in excess of $180,000 or the equivalent of the governor's salary, because there was legislation passed, I believe, in 2016, 2017. I believe I shared that with you the last time we chatted, that any salary in excess of the governor's salary, the local employer would pay the pension costs for that salary.
Okay, time out. Mm-hmm. Any salary that's higher than the salary for the governor of the entire state.
Correct.
That's where we draw the line. You know,
that's where the General Assembly has drawn the line.
Do you understand how that sounds to normal people?
I'm just saying the current law states that the General Assembly has passed legislation to.
I understand what you're saying, and you're happy with it there. But to most people, that's kind of, you know, I mean, we've got superintendents with 300 kids in a district. We've got superintendents with 100 kids in a district. And as long as they don't make more than the governor, okay, that's your argument. What about the argument that some districts are getting $1,700 per student per year for pensions, while the average is about $500? That's fine with you?
Well, you've got to look at it, and the funding reform that was passed in 2017 actually acknowledges this, that there are differences. They have regionalization factors, which recognize that in some areas of the state, there's a different cost to provide and deliver educational services.
So the district that I can name off the top of my head that's in the story, Rondout, where we're paying $1,773 per year per student, there's evidence that they need that compared to Taylorville, where we're paying about $325 per student per year?
I would push back and say this, that, I mean, local school boards are elected by local voters, and they have the ability every 2 years to go into the voting booth and make changes to the school board if they don't like what school boards are negotiating at the local level. So whatever is negotiated at the local level is done with by elected representation by local voters.
Right. But whatever Rondout does about electing their school board and whatever their school board negotiates for their superintendent or their principal, it's the state that's paying a giant chunk of that pension. I don't have any voice in the Rondout School District. I live in Springfield. So I don't understand how that argument applies.
Well, in a sense, by the state picking up those costs, it does actually alleviate some pressure at the local level with regards to property tax. And in a sense, that is one way that the state has chosen to assist with the funding of education.
So we created the evidence-based funding model to level the playing field and to say state funds need to run through this formula so that they'll be given out on a more equitable basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pension funds do not go through the equitable formula.
The school funding formula has regionalization factors and does recognize that there are different costs of delivering education in certain areas of the state and increases funding to those areas where more resources are needed, as outlined within the almost two dozen criteria.
Well, there's 34, so it's more than two dozen. But yes, there's regionalization, but the 34 criteria are not geographic. The 34 criteria are based on the needs of the kids, like English language learners. And if you just applied regionalization to the pension, you know, like if you said $500 is the average per student, let's apply a regionalization factor to that. You know, that's from like, what, 0.9 to 1.75 or something like that. That's pretty narrow compared to $1,700 versus $350.
But I would go back to my original comments in this conversation is that the beginning of the educational funding model and the discussions around its creation started with the premise that we are not going to take away from any districts. This dramatic change would take away from districts and would create losers of at least 100 school districts in the state.
Okay.
Of at least 100 school districts in the state.
All right. Do you have a different plan? Do you have an alternative proposal?
To accomplish what?
To address the inequity in the pension system.
I hear what you're saying with regards to inequities, but the state is funding the same percentage of salary to fund educator pensions, whether they are in Taylorville or in Freeport or in Decatur or Danville or Rondout, as you said.
Will Lovett is a lobbyist for the Illinois Education Association, and he spoke with our education reporter, Dusty Rhodes.